Word, all right? Hope you brought your Bibles or if you've got your smartphone so you can click to it. But I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 10 and Mark chapter 11. And when we started the service, I told you that we were going to start a new series today. I like doing series, and I have learned being a pastor when you do a series. It's nice to do standalone messages every now and then. But when you do a series and you come every Sunday, you really start getting the revelation of this. And so that's the way I'm going to be teaching this over the next four Sundays. And I'm really going to be this is kind of an introductory message today about what I've entitled it. It's, of course, Bulldog Faith Part 1, but I've entitled it The Birth of Bulldog Faith. And so we're gonna look at a scripture here in just a little bit in Hebrews chapter 10, and then we're going to finish up in my favorite book of the Bible, Mark chapter 11. Some of you will get that when you're eating lunch today. I'm just kidding. All right, you know, college football is upon us. How many college football fans we got in here? How many Boomer Sooners we got in here? You need to raise your hand, Desiree. Desiree gives me a hard time when it comes to college football season. And here's the deal. God is my witness. She starts it every year. She'll text me some meme or something like that, and I'm like, okay, it's on. It's on like Donkey Kong now. But she's a big OSU fan, and I'm a big OU fan. Of course, I root for both Oklahoma teams, just not when they play each other or, yeah, those kind of things, yeah. Don't talk to Mark Ward, because Mark's a big Boomer Sooner. But we're a house divided, so I probably need to get off of that right now. But I love college football. I love fall. Love everything about it. And as I was studying about this, about Bulldog, you know, the first thing that I thought of when I saw, and I came up, found this picture of this Bulldog, and I really like this Bulldog. So that's the picture that I'm using. And I was thinking about Bulldogs. I was researching Bulldogs, finding out all kinds of stuff. My uncle Jack Harrell, who I talked to this week, he used to raise Bulldogs, and I guess they're a really hard breed to actually raise. And I started thinking, the first thing I thought of was Southwestern, because that's where my daughter finished up at college at, and their mascot is a Bulldog. And so I got online, and I started looking. I was like, what's the top mascots out there in sports? And so the top, you may need this on sports trivia sometime, all right? You may win some game show or something by knowing this. But the three top mascots in sports are, number one is actually Eagles, is the number one. Number two, running close second, is Bulldogs. And then number three is Tigers. So there you have it. Now you can win a sports trivia game. And I kept researching about it, and it's so funny because there was a time Mark was doing and still does coach's aid, but there was time I was helping him one time. This has been years ago. Input data from Oklahoma into a database of all the high schools around here, and there is actually I would have never thought this. But it made me think of this when I was looking at mascots. There is a town in Oklahoma called Hutto, right? H-U-T-T-O. Y'all can look this up. And their mascot is a hippo. They're the Hutto Hippos. Isn't that right? Yeah, not lying. Google it. Just wait till after service and you can Google it. The Hutto Hippos. I was like, man, that's a great mascot. We're the hippos. But then I was researching about Bulldogs, you know, and of course, being a Sooner fan, I'm thinking back to Georgia last year when they beat us, and I'm thinking about their mascot is a Bulldog. So here's some more trivia that you may need to know. But their Bulldog is, they have this Bulldog, and one family has been raising these Bulldogs for Georgia since 1950. And so they have this lineage of Bulldogs, you know, when one passes away. Even outside their stadium, they have a pet cemetery for their mascots, their previous mascots. And they have the same name. Each one has the same name. And the name is spelled UGA for the University of Georgia, but it's pronounced Ugga. And that's the name of the Bulldog, is Ugga. You know, and I was like, yeah, they're ugly. So that fits pretty well, Ugga. So there's another trivia. All right, so now we're going to get into the Word, all right? I got to get all this trivia about mascots and Bulldogs and everything. But here recently, I went through a season, and I have been a Christian since 1993 is really whenever I really started walking with the Lord and faithfully. And I've had ups and downs, believe me, and seasons, and, you know, had harsh winters and seasons and all that. But I went through a time here recently where I hadn't lost my faith in God or anything like that, but my prayer life was lacking. Aren't you loving this confession of your pastor today? I just was like, you know, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And so why pray? Why, you know, why dig in and have faith for anything, God? Because it just seems like, you know, this is life, and life just likes to take a dump on me quite a bit, you know. And I just got to the point where I was discouraged and disappointed and just, you know, wasn't in the Word like I should be, wasn't, other than doing my messages, you know. And I'm talking personal Mark and Jesus time. And just, you know, just, I could even feel it. You know, how many of you have been walking with the Lord, you can feel it when you've kind of, you're just losing that edge that you had when you was walking and all that. And so I kind of was having a pity party one day. How many of you ever done that with the Lord? Okay. And if, you know, I love it when you're a baby Christian, God's very gracious with you. Isn't he grace? When you're a baby. When you're a baby Christian, he is very gracious with you. There's the word grace. And he has all this mercy. But if you've been walking with him for a while, he kind of has that fatherly, like, pull your bootstraps up, son. It's kind of like, you know, your dad, your that father figure. And so that's kind of what happened. So I call this, since we're talking about college football, I wrote this out, but this was God's halftime locker room talk with me, you know. And how many of you had a coach that gave you those halftime locker room talks, you know, and got on you and said, this is the way it needs to be? And sometimes that you need that. And sometimes we need that from the Lord. Discipline is a good thing from God. It's not fun at the moment, but it is a good thing. And so I wrote this out, and I'm going to just read this to you. This is what I felt like the Lord spoke to me. Mark, I'm going to get after you about your sorry attitude. And you can personalize this too today if you want to. You're letting the devil beat you up out there, talking about out there. Get a hold of yourself and get this straightened out. I want you to answer these questions right now. Are you maintaining or pursuing? At that time, I was maintaining. Are you dry docked or launching out into the deep? At that time, I had my boat parked in the harbor. I wasn't going anywhere. Are you holding the fort or are you taking new ground? I was holding the fort. Are you settled in the status quo or reaching up to the next level? I just said, you know what, status quo is good enough for me. Are you throwing in the towel or are you going in for the next round? I had the towel in my hand. Are you passive or pressing? I was passive. Are you surviving or thriving? I was surviving. I'm going to tell you guys, and I'm going to confess to you how where I had got to. I had never got to this place since 1993, but I had got to the place where I was really starting to think, maybe somebody else needs to pastor Harvest Fellowship Church. Maybe it's time for me to move on to something else. And I was actually, you know, Lord, is that what it is? And then the Lord got on to me and said, have I released you from Leedy, Oklahoma? No, he has not. So don't even start thinking that. That was the enemy was lying to me. Then God spoke to me this. Are you circling the wagons or leading the charge? I was circling the wagons. Are you behind the eight ball or are you staying ahead of the curve? I was behind the eight ball. Are you protecting what little you have or are you aggressively possessing all that is rightfully yours? And then God said, well, what is it? Are you going to back down and lose, or are you going to get back up on your bulldog faith and win? And this is what he was speaking to me. I want you to get more aggressive about taking what is rightfully yours in Christ. I want you to aggressively reach out with your faith and take what you need, command it to come, and demand it. I want you to become more aggressive with your faith. Now put your helmet back on, get back out on the field, and here it is. Go fight, win. Boom, touchdown. And there I was. And so I was like, okay, God, I hear you. And that's what I got to start doing. But I'd gotten to a bad place. How many of you, am I talking to anybody this morning? Okay, good. I don't feel so lonely up here. But in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38 through 39, where I told you to turn to Hebrews chapter 10, it says, now the just shall live by faith. Everybody say, live by faith. So, you know, one of the things, and I have done a lot of studying through Rhema Bible correspondence and Kenneth E. Hagin, Sr., who's went on to be with the Lord, but he's written a lot of books. And I remember Lomas is here this morning. I remember going to her house and getting all of her books by Kenneth Hagin. I was reading all those when I was studying, and I still read them a lot. And he said that the Lord spoke to him one time in his ministry and said, what you need to be teaching my people is teaching them faith, because that's what we need every day. We need to be encouraged, strengthened in our faith every day to go out here and live the Christian walk. Amen? That's what we need. And so in Hebrews 10, verses 38 through 39, it says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. All right, for all you young people, y'all ready to post and tweet something? All right, I'm going to give you a couple of things. I don't have them wrote down up here, but I'm going to say them. Laid-back faith is slow. Laid-back faith is slow. Aggressive faith changes things, people, and circumstances. And everybody said, amen. We want that aggressive faith. Too many people have faith for the dreaded outcome instead of faith for the desired result. You ever been there? I had faith for the dreaded outcome, but I didn't have faith for the desired result. And you need to have faith for the desired result. Now, I'm going to give you the bulldog faith defined. Something about the bulldog breed. A bulldog is stubbornly aggressive, they're persistent, and they're determined. It is a breed of remarkable ferocity, courage, and tenacity of grip. This is the way that God made the bulldog. Its jaw protrudes, you know, it has that underbite, and its nose is indented in order for it to bite down on something and keep breathing until that thing is completely theirs. That's why that's like that, so that they can keep breathing. And so that speaks to us that we're supposed to bite down on the Word of God and refuse to let it go. We got to bite down on it. It's not just something you just casually read. You've got to get a hold of that Word, bite down on it, and refuse to let it go. Bulldog faith does not take no for an answer. This week I sat down with a couple. Her name is Peggy Wade. I'm going to go ahead and say it, and Richard Wade. They live in Elk City. Peggy is my nurse. I go to Dr. Phelps. And I sat down in their home, and I was visiting with them, and I heard their story, their testimony. Jade and I sat there for probably, a good 2 hours, hour and a half, listening to his testimony of what he had went through over the past 6 years in his health. And they were standing upon the Word of God. He'd went through a deal where it was a lung issue, and I'm not going to go into the whole entire story, but he needed a lung transplant. This guy doesn't smoke, doesn't have any of those issues. He was a premature baby when he was born, and then later in life, like when he was 60, it showed up in his lung, and there was something going on in his lung where they knew that he was going to have a transplant. And so they got on the list, and they were believing God, and it was just an awesome testimony because he told me, Mark, when you're on the receiving end of that, of a transplant, he goes, this is not like a kidney or something else. This is a lung. He said, so that person, he goes, that person has to die for you to receive that organ. And he said, so Peggy and I, we started praying for whoever it was. We prayed for their salvation. And this is an awesome story. They was having bulldog faith, believing for this, believing for the right donor. I mean, everything had to match up. He had to be at a certain weight. He was having to take care of himself. There was a lot of things he was having to put his, like Kent and I prayed this morning, he had to put his faith in action. It wasn't just sitting around, you know, just believing. He was having to do stuff for his own body to be able to receive this. And they got a call, and then the first call, and they got all excited and got their hopes up, and they found out it wasn't a match. And so their hopes got down. because he's in, I mean, if he doesn't get this, he's going to pass away. And he said, Mark, we just had grandkids. I want to stick around for some more years to be with my grandkids. And we were just believing for this. We were standing on the word of God. And then one day Peggy said they got a call that they had the perfect match. And so they went and had the surgery and everything. He went through a whole lot of stuff even after the surgery that they had just some complications and stuff. And I didn't know any of this, but I found out through him that whenever you receive an organ like that, you actually have to take medicine that will, it's called anti-rejection medicine, that won't reject that's in your body. And so he was having to take that. And but he said, Mark, who it was, who it ended up being, was and Peggy and I had been praying for his salvation, but it was actually a 21-year-old young man who had actually fallen out of a tree stand deer hunting. And that's what happened. And he was married and had two little kids. And, of course, Richard told me, he says, I pray for his wife and pray for his kids daily, and I think they said that they're praying about it, about trying to find, you know, those little girls. There were two little girls, so that they could help them out, you know. So just a neat story. But I listened to their story for about an hour and a half of their prayers together, them standing on the word of God. And I'm talking bulldog faith like I had never heard about it before. And Peggy, I'll never forget this, Peggy looked at Jade and I, and she says, you need to thank God for your health every day. The health because Rich was saying he can't do some of the things that he normally, he says, I'm glad to be alive and take my next breath so I can be with my grandbabies, you know, but I can't, he said, the thing that frustrates me, I can't do the things I used to do. He likes to go out and work, and he's a man's man kind of a guy. And, but I just sit there in that bulldog faith. If I could define it, I wanted to define it with that story. That they got a hold of that, they believe for that, and they're still believing for it, and that story is still not over, but they're still standing on the word of God. The nature of faith, if you don't know, you know, and some of you, I know some of you in here have been taught about faith, some of you haven't, some of you may be new to hearing this, but the nature of faith is aggressive, persistent, determined, tenacious, confident, demanding, commanding, and focused. That's a big mouthful right there. The nature of faith won't give up and won't let go until it sees the desired result. You know, how many of you had those days, you know, you have those seasons where you're really walking with the Lord, and then you have those seasons where you kind of drift. Yeah, I think everybody does. And that's, I'm talking about this bulldog faith. That's what Jesus said. He said, and we're going to look at this in another message on the persistent faith with the persistent widow. He said, when I come back to the earth, when he comes back, am I going to find that bulldog faith? That's what I'm looking for. And we've all had those moments. And thank God for God's grace. Amen. Bulldog faith says, God's word is mine now. Devil, you can't take it from me. Just be assured when this is over, I win. Guess what? Read the end of the book, we win. So you need to act like a winner now. And remind him of that daily. All right, here's Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. This is where Jesus is talking to Peter, and it says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Somebody needs to hear that today. You may have drifted, just like Peter did. The apostle Peter drifted. And even Jesus had told him, said, you know what? Satan has asked for you. He's asked to sift you like wheat. But Jesus has prayed for you. Isn't that comforting when Jesus prays for you? He says that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. And that word sift in the Greek means separate, break into pieces, shake, shatter, and discourage. It's an inward agitation to try one's faith to the verge of overthrow. How many of you have ever been there? I've been there. The devil's plan is to drain, weaken, and wear down our faith through continual pressure, disappointments, and discouragement. And he wants us to back down from using our faith to take a strong stand for what belongs to us. And he wants us to live in a constant state of retreat. And that's where I was a few years ago. And God says, You know, that's the devil's plan, is to get you to back down. And here's what I want to tell you about the devil. There is no truth in the devil, and when he talks to you, you know it's a lie. Amen. Amen, Kevin. It's a lie. Kevin came up here today, and I hope Kevin doesn't bother you for me saying this, but he came up here today, and he just said, you know, just Pastor Mark, and I was thinking about Kevin this week, and I told him that, and he just said, you know, when I came in here today, I was here already hearing the lies that you shouldn't be here, this is not a place for you, blah, blah, blah. And I said, that is the voice of the enemy, and that is a lie from the pit of hell. When any time you hear that condemnation and guilt, that is not from God. Mark, I have to remind Mark of that a lot too. We all have it. I have it. I have to remind myself of it. Nope, I'm not listening to that. That's not God's voice. And the devil, you have to realize this, the devil excels in lying. And we have to excel in the Word of God to keep things straight. That's what we have to excel in. 1 John 5:4, and we read this earlier at the start of service. This is our theme scripture. It says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And that's that bulldog faith. Faith in the Greek is the word pistis. That's a funny name for faith. You know, I'm pissed us off, devil. I was just going to go ahead and say it. You were thinking it, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I thought it too when I was studying this. You just already pissed us. I'm using my faith right now on you in Jesus' name. You guys love me, don't you? Don't go home and say, I just cannot believe Pastor Mark said that from the pulpit. A force that is forward-directed and aggressive. It's never passive, retreating, or backward. It's always reaching to obtain a specific target or goal. In the Amplified Bible, it says, this is the victory that conquers the world, even our faith, in which that's what it says up there, too. And I love what Kenneth Copeland says. I found this quote that he had said. It says, faith is a spiritual power born in the human spirit at the new birth. It is the spiritual substance of all things. It is activated by the mouth and followed with corresponding action. It is fed by the Word of God. When that word is acted upon, as quickly as you would a word from your doctor, your lawyer, or your best friend. It's amazing. Now, I've seen this. It is amazing to me how fast somebody will act upon a doctor's word. But then when they hear the Word of God, put it on the shelf. And yeah, we need doctors, and thank God for them. We need to act upon their words. But you need to honor what Jennifer and Patricia learned at the conference. You need to honor God's word even above what a doctor, a lawyer, or your best friend says. And when we start doing that, you're going to start excelling and triumphing over the enemy and his lies. All right, here's Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. And I encourage you to go home and read Hebrews chapter 11. It's the hall of faith. But I love the first three verses. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Faith is the parent force of all that exist, and we frame our own worlds with words of faith. The world you live in, you are framing it with your words. You're either speaking life over it or you're speaking death over it. And so you need to watch your mouth. Look at somebody and say, you need to watch your mouth. You really do. This is so very important, and because this is the one thing I want you to get today on this bulldog faith. Your mouth could either, you're either losing your grip or you're tightening your grip on whatever you're believing God for with your mouth. And if you're speaking negativity and death and woe unto me and all this over your problems and situations, you don't have a grip. The devil's got full control and he's beating you from pillar to post. But if you've got a hold of that word and got a grip on it and you're speaking the word of God over your circumstance and your situation, you're going to come out on top every time. It may take a while. It may not happen overnight, but you're going to come out on top every time. All right, Mark chapter 11. Then we're going to end with this. Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 25 says this. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Everybody say that. Say, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. And there's three things I want to point out in this real quick for you. Verse 23 says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Faith is a force that can remove, receive, and release. You need to write that down. Faith is a force that removes, receives, and releases. And so verse 23 is talking about a force that removes. Then in verse 24, Jesus says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Have you ever prayed in doubt? I have. So start changing that and start praying, saying, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. But start praying in faith, believing what you're asking God for, expecting to see results, expecting to see the answers, asking God. There's angels encamped about us. They want to be put on assignment, but they got to have your voice activating them. A force that, verse 24 is talking about, faith is a force that receives. And that's the Greek word for receive, is you take it with much force. That's where I'm getting this about the bulldog faith. That's where I was at. I was, you know, praying to remove stuff, releasing, but I wasn't in that mode of receiving from God. And you've got to be in that faith mode to receive from God. In verse 25, this is a big one, guys. A force that removes, a force that receives. But a lot of times people leave off this verse 25. And I'll be honest with you, there's times I wish it wasn't there. And I was like, Jesus, why did you say that? But if your faith is going to work, you're going to have to walk in love. And it's easier said than done. That's why it takes faith to walk in love. It says in verse 25, it says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Oh, gosh. Can I just do the first two? You know, that's kind of, and then Jesus has to throw that one at you, you know, that, okay, when I'm here, I got to forgive that person that did that to me. Oh, my gosh. You know, because you're over there, secretly, we're over there, if you'll be honest, you're over there praying, God, I want to be like James and John, and can we just pray for fire to come down upon them, you know, and that, you know, and we're laughing about that because we all have thought that, but that's where the Lord rebuked James and John and said, you do not know what spirit you're of when you start thinking like that. So we need to walk in love. If your faith is going to work, Galatians talks about this, you're going to have to walk in love. And everybody said, amen. I can tell you in my life, in my walk with God, where the Lord gets on to me the most, because this also says this in the Word of God, in Peter, he talks about that men, if you're not treating your wife right, if you're not, you know, taking care of her, treating her like you're supposed to, that even your prayers will be hindered. And so God's gotten me onto me about how I have talked to, because, you know, I love everybody else, but I get home with Jada and I'm kind of short with her sometimes. And the Holy Spirit comes up here and taps me on the shoulder and says, buddy, you better repent now, because your prayers ain't getting past the ceiling fan up there. And so then I'm like, okay, Lord, I hear you. Am I talking to anybody out there? Everybody's looking at me like, I can't believe this is our pastor. He has said pistis, and he has said that. That's actually P-I-S-T-I-S. I should have put it up there so y'all would understand that. That's the Greek word for faith. So faith, so that's, you know, you got to watch, you know, your attitude, your heart, you're walking in forgiveness, walking in love, because it's a force that releases too. Faith is fed and maintained by the Word of God, and you have to keep gas in the tank. I cannot stress enough that you've got to get in the Word of God. I hope you got a bulletin this morning. If you didn't, get one. because inside the bulletin I put a deal for you to take home. It's got all the scriptures there. There's 25 faith essentials every believer needs to know, and then something there at the bottom to declare out loud as well. And so I encourage you to go home and just, you know, every day read over those and read the scriptures that pertain to those things and get on your bulldog faith. And I had gotten to a point where I wasn't using my voice. I wasn't declaring things. I wasn't praying things. I wasn't commanding or demanding things. I just was just letting life happen. And when you do that, life tends to beat you up. And I really wasn't on my faith walk and on my faith game like I should be. I didn't have my bulldog faith. And I noticed something. I started going, this has happened to me several times. And I know I'm on the radio and I know things like that. But I've been in places where somebody will look at me and say, I know that voice. And I'll go to, you know, Walmart and they'll I know that voice. Are you Mark Haines? You know, and it's because they've heard me on the radio and stuff like that. I don't feel like I have that distinctive a voice. I feel like I'm just a regular old Okie. And so I started thinking, okay, God, you know, I've had this happen a lot to me, this voice thing. And I was asking the Lord about it one day. And he said, well, because I called you to be a pastor, and being a pastor, you got to speak a lot. So you need to have a decent sounding voice. And, you know, and I mean, God's just telling me, you know, you can't be putting, of course, I see some of you in here asleep, some of you, but I know I have that peaceful voice, you know, as a pastor. And, then he turned the gears on me and he said, in the spirit realm, they know your voice too, and you need to use it. And at that time that he told me that, when I was having different people come up to me and saying that, I just had it happen a few different times. But it was during a time where my prayer life was lacking and I wasn't declaring things. I'm talking, you know, when you get up on your soapbox and you say, enough is enough, devil. This is it. And that's when you start declaring those things and you're declaring the word of God. I'd stopped doing that. I'd got off my bulldog faith. And God was telling me, I gave you that voice, not just for in front of people, but I gave you that voice for the spiritual realm so you can declare things and get it done. So get back up on your bulldog faith. Did everybody get something today? Okay, this is the first of, this is kind of the birth of the bulldog faith. I'm just going to be teaching you about faith every Sunday over the next three Sundays. And we're really going to get into the Word of God and look at some different things and stories in the Word where people use their faith. But what I want to do is I want to go out of here with a bulldog faith confession. Can we do that? As I was talking about using our voice, and I tell you to, you know, declare out loud on that sheet that I gave you, and those 25 different things, you can just start declaring those over your life as well. But I want everybody to, I'm going to go ahead and we're going to dismiss, but before we dismiss, I'm going to speak this over you. So I want everybody to stand up as we make this faith confession, and then I'm going to speak a blessing over you as well. Okay, I want you to repeat this after me. I make a quality. let me start that over again. I make a quality decision.
I make a quality decision.
To live by bulldog faith.
To live by bulldog
faith. I take hold of every faith project.
I take hold of every faith project.
I receive them. All completed.
Ahead of schedule.
I refuse to quit.
I refuse to let go.
I refuse to give up.
I have fully persuaded faith.
My faith is aggressive.
Persistent.
And determined.
And determined.
What God has promised.
He is able to perform.
I see it.
I take it.
I have it.
This is the victory that conquers the world.
Even my bulldog faith.
Now
look at your neighbor and say, I have bulldog faith. Okay. Amen. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And before we go today, I want to make sure that everyone here knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior, meaning that you have placed your faith in Him. The Bible tells us how to do that in Romans 10. It says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want the honor of leading you in a prayer to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And even if you've already done this before and you know the Lord, I want you to repeat this prayer to me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God. And you died on the cross for me. And rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins. And create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, Amen. Mark, I'm going to have you come and speak the blessing over everybody, and he's going to dismiss us, and I'm going to get back here to the back so I can see everybody this morning.
Can you hear me? Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. That was awesome. Whew. I tell you what spoke to me right quick there was, I've been afraid. Somebody needs to hear that today. I just want to speak that over you, that the opposite of fear is faith. Amen. And there's a harvest time coming up, and that's the very message about fear and faith that God's been putting in my heart for next month. But the opposite of fear is faith. Woo, I don't want to be afraid anymore. No matter how close you are with God, the enemy tries to take its turn and we get afraid. Stop being afraid. Amen. That's what God spoke to me in that message. What a great word. I'm going to speak this blessing over, then we're going to pray, okay? So just pray with me, and I'll speak the blessing, and I'll finish with prayer. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Father God, I just come to you, Lord. I thank you, God, for your faith today, God. I thank you, Lord, that we made a great choice today, God. And Lord, we're going to leave here with that faith, that bulldog faith. Thank you for a pastor that is open, God. I thank you for a pastor that brings truth, but he brings it in a way that... That God, he's a man and he's called to us, but God, that he's real with us. God, I thank you for the word today. God, I thank you that I just feel in my spirit, man, there's just so many here and just so many people. You're doing a work right now. We're in the midst of a movement here. I feel that so much in my heart. And God, it's about each individual and each family. So God, bless them today in Jesus' name. They leave here with this word in their heart and mind, God, and they just they hold on to it today. God, and we just start to walk this victory out, Father. We proclaim it, God, today in victory and in faith. God, and we give you praise until next time. And iron sharpens iron, God, and we need each other. And Father, I pray that we would lean on each other harder and that we would trust and love each other by grace. And we would have each other's back spiritually, God, that we can just be the body of Christ operating in unity in this next harvest that you're fixing to release through this ministry. God, I'm so thankful for what I feel in my spirit, God, that you're about to do, and so thankful for this church and Pastor Mark and what's going to take place in the months to come. God, just seal it and bind it in our hearts, and we give you praise until next time in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hug somebody's neck. Tell them, no fear but faith. Amen. Bulldog faith. That's the word.